Welcome back to Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Spencer, and for those of you who are new or just don't know, this podcast is basically just an audio version of my videos over on YouTube, which you can find if you go over to YouTube and type in the search bar at The Film Punch. If for whatever reason you can't find me over there, you can also go over to my Instagram, which is also at The Film Punch, and the link in the bio should take you where you need to go. Not only can you get the video form of what I talk about over on this podcast over there, but you can also get it earlier, so I highly recommend going over there, not only because of those reasons, but because this podcast will be ending on episode 200, which is coming fairly soon, shooting for that episode to come out around maybe February, early February. So, fairly soon, so all the content will be over there going forward. As for this episode today, I only have one review for you, and that is for 2022's Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. So without further ado, let's thank the sponsors and get into it. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which, if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, so 2022's Puss in Boots: The Last Wish is the sequel to the 2011 film, which I don't really remember if I watched in the theater or not at the time. I don't think so. I think I ended up watching it on DVD when it came out, so I was about maybe 11 or 12 at the time. And, you know, I like the Shrek franchise overall. You know, the first one I would say is probably the best, but, you know, in terms of that first Puss in Boots movie, it's never really one that stood out too much to me. I mean, I like Antonio Banderas as the voice of Puss in Boots. I think he's iconic. I think it just sounds like he's having so much fun with that role. Does that carry on in this movie? I'll get to that in a minute. But this film is directed by Joel Crawford, co-directed by Juanel Mercado. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Probably not. Story by Tommy Swardlow and Tom Wheeler. Screenplay by Tommy Swardlow and Paul Fisher. And, like I said before, Antonio Banderas comes back as the voice of Puss in Boots. By the way, if you hear anything in the background, it is incredibly windy. I'm sure a lot of you, if you live in the States, or even some of you that even don't live in the States, are experiencing the crazy winter weather. And, really hoping the power doesn't go out mid-review. So, if it does, I will be finishing the review in the dark, because that's just kind of how it has to go. But yeah, also in the cast, we have Salma Hayek coming back as Kitty Softpaws, which is a character that appeared in the first film. We have Harvey Gullin, hopefully I'm saying that right, as Pedro, which is the dog kind of companion in this film. Very fun character that I'll kind of get more into in a second. We have Florence Pugh as Goldilocks. We have John Mulaney as Jack Horner, both of which are villains of the film. Wagner Moura as the Big Bad Wolf, another villain of the film. Ray Winstone as Papa Bear, Samson Keo as Baby Bear, and Olivia Colman as Mama Bear. Also kind of villains of the film that are part of the Goldilocks gang, I guess you could say. Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Anybody else in here? We have Divine Joy Randolph as Mama Luna, kind of the cat lady that takes in Puss in Boots for a little bit of this film, and then Conrad Vernon bringing his voice back as the Gingerbread Man from the other Shrek films. Is that the only Shrek reference that is in this film? No, but I'm not going to tell you what the other ones are. It's very small. I mean, there are just very ever so slight references to those films, but not a whole lot really. Maybe one day it'll get back to that point where we can see Puss in Boots with the Shrek gang again, but who knows when we'll see that. Honestly, we're still kind of waiting on the Shrek reboot, which some people might not even know that. Yes, Shrek is getting rebooted essentially. But yeah, the one thing I will say about this movie that I guess maybe isn't a spoiler, maybe it is, and it's not even really about the movie, but it's about the DreamWorks logo. Maybe you didn't hear about it, that they updated it. And I mean, I always like the old DreamWorks logo. It still kind of keeps the same energy for the most part, but unlike every other DreamWorks logo, it shows, at least for the animation movie that I saw, it shows all these other animated characters, like most recently the bad guys. You have trolls in there. You have Kung Fu Panda, Toothless, Shrek, Fiona, Donkey, Boss Babies, the female one and the male one. And then there was something else in there that I'm forgetting, but yeah, it's kind of a fun little intro that I like for the most part. But if there's movies in there that people just absolutely despise, I'm sure they're gonna find a way to complain about it. But yeah, fun little intro. Just kind of interesting to see. Oh, that's the first time I've seen that from DreamWorks. Maybe it's, I don't know for sure if it's the first time they debuted that intro, but I'm pretty sure it is. But yeah, already gotten through most of the cast here. And I will say this, when it comes to the villains, the biggest standout for me is Wagner Moura as the Big Bad Wolf, and then Florence Pugh as Goldilocks. Those two, and Goldilocks at times I wouldn't even say is a villain. She has a really great character arc in this movie, actually, along with Puss in Boots, honestly. I think both of them are kind of neck and neck with having really good character arcs. I think Puss in Boots just kind of goes over that line a little bit with having the better character arc, the better story in this movie. But yeah, I mean, you essentially have this wishing star that everybody is after. They have this map that they got to follow. It's different to everybody, so the landscapes are kind of changing. It's really interesting when they do that. But they're all after this star. They all want this wish for whatever purpose that they need it for, whatever wish that they desire. And yeah, so all these people are essentially after the same thing. Some of them being more evil than others. Jack Horner probably being the most evil, played by John Mulaney, who I love. But I will say in this movie, Jack Horner is probably the weakest character in this film. Maybe not in terms of like maybe power set, but like just in terms of writing, I think is the weakest one in this film. The one I definitely could have done without. Again, no shade towards John Mulaney, who I love, great comedian, but yeah, that character just kind of felt a little shoehorned in there just for the sake of having another person after this star. But yeah, not Ray Winstone. Wagner Moura as the Big Bad Wolf. And again, hopefully I'm saying his name right. What a terrifying character for a kids movie. Honestly, there's a lot of things in this movie that are surprising for a kids movie. There's literally a joke in here that they bleep in the film, which is not something they do very often in films in general, let alone a kids animated film. But yeah, there's moments where they get very close to saying a certain swear word, which I won't say here because, you know, this is a movie, review for a kids movie, so I'm trying not to swear here. If I already did, I'm sorry. But yeah, some really surprising adult humor in here that I feel like kids nowadays can probably pick up on more than they did back then, and even back then, maybe they were picking up on it more than maybe adults were realizing. But yeah, a lot of surprising adult humor, and then also just like adults. Maybe just in terms of being intense, kind of like a little more for adults. It has some really intense, kind of scary moments, and it has a lot of death in it too, like surprising amount of death in this movie. And they kind of play it off for laughs, and it makes it a little less scary for the kids, but it's also one of those things you got to think about with certain parents. I'm sure there's a certain type of parent that wouldn't want their kids watching this movie, and I can kind of understand for the most part. It's surprisingly violent for an animated kids movie, but you know, I think it just kind of adds to it, not only being a great movie for kids, you know, entertaining for kids. They're gonna have a lot of fun with not only the jokes but the action of it as well. It has very entertaining animation, But there's going to be a lot here for the adults, especially. You know, there's going to be the jokes, obviously, that adults, you know, roll their eyes at, you know, stupid fart jokes, pee jokes, whatever it might be, just stupid jokes aimed towards kids, because again, it is a kids movie, but it's one of those movies that can be enjoyed by all audiences, I feel like. You know, an adult could go to this movie and enjoy it, you know, whether or not an adult would be willing to go to a movie by themselves to see this, I definitely was. You know, that's kind of up to you. I've seen plenty of kids movies by myself, so I kind of have no shame at this point. And, you know, I kind of heard this one was pretty good going into it, so I was excited for it, but I wasn't expecting how good this movie would actually be. I really haven't said what I thought about it completely yet. But this movie, I do think, is very good. Is it one of the best movies I've watched this year? Maybe if I were making like a top 20 favorite movies of 2022, yes, it would end up on that list. But in terms of my top 10, I'm not quite sure. But that being said, this is one of my favorite animated movies that I have seen this year. It's just, you know, is animation something that I really love more than the other stuff I watched this year? I'm not completely sure. But yeah, I mean, I guess Turning Red came out this year too. There's been a lot of pretty good animation. People like the bad guys, but I wasn't too crazy about that one personally. But this one right here, in terms of especially DreamWorks movies that came out this year, this is the one for me. You know, I just think it has a really incredible story that's not only, you know, personal for some people, you know, some people can actually relate to it, but, you know, by the end of it, I found myself literally cheering for an animated cat. And, you know, I wouldn't have expected that maybe not even a month ago leading up to this movie, but, you know, the closer it got, the more I started to hear how good it was. You know, I believe it was nominated, if not won, a Golden Globe. Excuse me. So I'm like, this movie has to be good. And, you know, going into it, I still had my expectations set at a kind of mid-level. I was still excited to watch it, but, you know, I wanted to not get my expectations up too high. And just after watching the whole film, you know, there's some parts that I don't love. It does slow down a little bit too much in parts, especially at times when it comes to the kind of Mama Luna stuff, when Puss in Boots kind of, you know, essentially, spoiler alert, but like goes into hiding. You know, that stuff, it drags a little bit there. And then especially when, you know, they have the map and they're kind of like on the way to this wishing star, it drags a little bit there as well. So just a couple parts that I feel like it really drags. But other than that, this is a very fast-paced movie. It starts off very fast-paced. And, you know, again, for kids, it'll keep them entertained right off the bat. And when it comes to the humor in this movie as well, I mean, I don't think I, you know, stress that enough, that the humor really does work very well in this movie. Not just because, you know, it's adult humor, but because, you know, they have funny cat-related humor in here. And, you know, since Pedro is a dog, they have some dog-related humor. Not as much as the cat-related humor, but yeah, the cat-related humor in here, it should feel terrible because, you know, we've seen so many of these stupid cat and dog type of movies where they have the typical, like, cat and dog kind of antics that they do, and it gets annoying after a while. But in here, they do it so well. Like, there's moments, I'm trying to think, shoot. You know, there was a moment where Puss was at the doctor. Because, oh, by the way, I didn't even mention this. The plot of this film is that Puss in Boots is on his 9th life, which, if you don't know, cats have 9 lives, you know, not really. But he's on his last life. He wants to go to this wishing star to wish for more lives. And, yeah, I mean, that's basically why he's going there. And, yeah, he goes to the doctor. The doctor's talking about, like, oh, you wasted all these lives. Now you're on your last life. Let me check you out. And he checks the reflexes. You know, the whole reflex thing with, the, like, the knee. And it's just like, ah, cat-like reflexes. Good. And I'm just like, oh, that's clever. I like that. And there are a few other moments that I won't mention. I'll save for you guys if you watch the film. But, you know, humor in here that shouldn't work because it's been done before. But they do it very well in here. They don't overdo it to the point where it's just like, when they do it, it's used at the right time. But yeah, it's a really fun film. Pretty much entire voice cast here seems like they're having an incredible time. Antonio Banderas especially. You know, when I think of Antonio Banderas, I kind of think of a more serious actor. And in this role, it just feels like he gets to kind of let loose and have more fun. Just like kind of being in a sound booth, just being this animated cat. I think he has a lot of fun with it. And everybody involved, I think, did a good job, you know, with the one thing of John Mulaney as Jack Horner. I mean, again, love John Mulaney, but Jack Horner as a character was just incredibly weak in this movie and felt unnecessary. But yeah, I mean, they kind of had to have that at the end for certain things to happen, I guess. So, but yeah, let me see. I have like 3 pages of notes and I haven't even really looked at it yet. Oh, I will mention this in the action scenes, the animation kind of changes a little bit as opposed to how it is in the rest of the movie when you just kind of have characters talking and whatnot. The action scenes are a little bit choppy, almost claymation-like. You could probably even see it in the trailer, but it's one of those things, and they said this on the review for Double Toasted's review for Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. They were saying how it could be viewed as stylistic or it could be viewed as the studio trying to save money. Maybe it's a little bit of both. For me personally, it didn't really bother me. It didn't take me out of the movie completely. It didn't ruin the movie at all in any way. But at times it was a little weird to go back and forth between, you know, the kind of almost 3D animation to the 2D almost comic book slash anime type of animation, almost claymation type of animation, I guess I could say. Because claymation kind of has like sometimes a choppy way of moving, but yeah, I don't know. Some of the action scenes can look a little weird, but it doesn't take me out of it. And after a while, you really do get used to it. By the end of the movie, like in the final battle or whatever, I started to notice it here and there, like a lot more especially. But it again, never really ruined the movie for me. It could for other people, or other people would be like, oh man, that's a really stylistic decision. You know, again, it could be the studio trying to save money. But if that is the case, they did a good job with you know, the kind of limited budget they had with the effects then, if that was the case. Yeah, I mentioned that already. Visual and audible cat gags, already mentioned that. Humor there for the kids and adults, already mentioned that. Already mentioned the parents that might not like their kids watching it. I already mentioned the intense and kind of scary scenes. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really surprisingly deep moments with the character of Puss in Boots. And I'll just say this now, he kind of has a fear of the big bad wolf because they kind of have a fight and Puss in Boots is not used to being bested in a fight. And the big bad wolf is somebody who can best him in a fight. And, you know, there's times in this movie, one in particular, where he's just like breathing really heavily and it's just like, you can tell. You know, he probably doesn't know what's going on. It's a fairy tale land. They probably don't know the term for it, but, you know, he's having an anxiety attack, essentially. And for me personally, somebody who struggles with mental health at times, you know, I know exactly what that looks like. And I was just like, damn, it's a really deep thing to have with, again, an animated cat. But, yeah, I mean, they really hit on more emotional aspects than I was expecting, not only with his character, but also the character of Goldilocks, which I won't really get too deep into at all, but, yeah, let me see here. Damn, it's really windy. But yeah, good backstory with Goldilocks and the Three Bears, good development with the Goldilocks, as I said before. They could have easily made a throwaway film for cheap, but they have a great story and beautiful animation. Maybe not my favorite film from the Shrek franchise, because I feel like the first Shrek kind of has to take that place just for nostalgia's sake. But yeah, I would say that's, this movie is at least second, at the very least, if not first. But I would have to rewatch that first Shrek movie. I'm sure I'd feel differently after rewatching it, to be completely honest, because this does feel like a more kind of tight, more compact, more impressive film, I guess I would say. But let me see here. Trying to see if I have any more notes. I don't think so. Nope. I'm pretty sure that's all I have in terms of notes on Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. But have you seen this film? What did you think? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you in the middle? If you're like most people, you probably loved this film, and I would say I very much enjoyed it as well. When I say I loved it, maybe not loved it, because, you know, it's been maybe 2 hours or so since I watched it, and there's already aspects of it that I'm starting to kind of forget, so the effect of it might wear off over time. It's one of those movies, I mean, would I rewatch it? Maybe. But it's nothing I'd be rushing back to watch. So, would it end up on my top 10 favorite of this year? Probably not, but top 20 most likely, if I did that list, which I'm not planning on. But have you not, excuse me, hiccups. Worst time to get hiccups. I'm trying to like control it right now. But have you not seen this movie? Are you planning on watching it anytime soon? Why or why not? If you have a family and you don't really celebrate Christmas, or you just don't really make a big deal out of it, then, you know, maybe go to a movie on Christmas, and I would suggest watching this one if you have younger kids. Even if you don't have younger kids, maybe if they're a little bit older in their teenage years, I feel like there's something for them even that they'd still enjoy. So, yeah, bring your family to watch it. I think they'd very much enjoy it. Overall, I would give this a standard ticket. Definitely worth the price of admission, but not necessarily worth paying extra for by any means. But yeah. Once again, there's my review for 2022's Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. Yeah, pretty surprising film. I cannot lie. You know, it was I thought it was going to be pretty good, and it exceeded those expectations even. So, there you go. But yeah, leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you all so much for listening. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at The Film Punch. Once again, not only can you get the video version over on YouTube of what I talked about in this episode, but you can also get it earlier over there. So, highly recommend going over there and subscribing. This podcast will be ending on episode 200, so all the content will be over there going forward. But yeah, this is usually the part of the episode where I just kind of ramble about whatever I want. And like the last episode, I will be rambling again about the weather. Update, I think I said last time in the last episode that the power went out for a few seconds and came back on, didn't have any issues after that, and we still haven't had any issues, fortunately, honestly. I'm going to be surprised if we don't lose power again tonight, even just for a few seconds like we did last night. Which, you know, by the way, for you guys, it's not the same in days or whatever, but you know what I mean, it has the same effect. I recorded this outro the same day I recorded the review for Puss in Boots, so it's Friday right now. But yeah, you can probably hear it in the background, it's windy as fuck. You know, sorry for swearing in a podcast episode about a children's movie, but hey, I can do whatever I want because nobody's really listening at this point, but if you are, I appreciate it. You're just listening to me ramble about literally just random shit. But hey, it's fun for me, at least. It's like therapy almost. Man, I need therapy. But yeah, that's one of my goals for the new year, is to get back to therapy, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I really have anything else to talk about other than the weather. I guess I could talk about just my plans. Next episode, I will probably have a review up for most likely Die Hard, the first Die Hard movie. That'll be my review to come out on Christmas Day. Didn't really do many Christmas reviews because a lot of the Christmas stuff came out, you know, early December and you know, late November and whatnot, with the Santa Clauses and Spirited and most recently Violent Night. So a lot of the, like, newer stuff already came out, and I already talked about Elf. And again, for next year, I want to be able to save some stuff, like A Christmas Story and, you know, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Home Alone is definitely one I want to save. Double Tester, I already talked about that Jack Frost movie I was going to talk about. And honestly, their Bad Movie Roast is better than mine, whatever my review would ever be for it. But maybe next year, you know, when nobody else is really talking about it, I'll go ahead and talk about that one. Do kind of like a back-to-back review of the Michael Keaton one and then the horror movie Jack Frost version. But yeah, if you haven't seen that movie, it's batshit crazy. This
episode, I guess. Oh, wait, shoot. I guess I'll probably have to post this the same day I'm recording this, actually. Or the same day, at least, that the review will come out on YouTube. Because tomorrow's Christmas, and I want to have that Die Hard review come out on Christmas Day on the podcast and YouTube simultaneously. So that means I will have to post this review the day the review comes out on YouTube. So yeah, for those of you who went to go subscribe to my YouTube, I'm sorry that I said that you could have gotten this one earlier, because technically with this one and the next one you can't, but you know, these are special circumstances just for the holidays. But yeah, I'm not sure when I'm going to do my top 10 most anticipated, or not most anticipated, I already did that list. You know, I'm thinking of trying to do my top 10 favorite, or no, my top 10 least favorite of 2022, most likely on New Year's Eve, and then maybe on like New Year's Day, I'll do my top 10 favorite of 2022. I don't know. Maybe that'll be my question. You know, for those of you who don't know, for those of you who don't listen on Spotify, you know, with the app I use, Anchor, you can ask your audience questions and they can answer only on Spotify. And maybe that'll be my question, is when do you think I should post my top 10 least favorite and favorites lists, at least on YouTube? That again might have to be one of those things I post, you know, same day on YouTube and the podcast, just for the sake of the holidays. But yeah, after that point, it'll be smooth sailing until, you know, the podcast ends in about February. So yeah, I'm gonna wrap it up here. I'm just stumbling over my words because it's getting late. I already recorded my review for tonight, so I'm like already kind of in the mode to just relax and turn my brain off. So thank you all for listening. I will see you in the next one.